Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
But we went over the introduction just to make known that there are qualifications to being a member of the church. And we looked at, well, how church is a local body, the way that it's organized, and the section of the covenant that we made it to is there in that first paragraph about halfway through. It says, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we looked at that being a member of the church requires having repented and received Christ as Savior, having made a public profession of that faith in front of witnesses, and then thirdly, having received scriptural baptism. And that's what we're going to see here in just a moment, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so that is not only, now that is verbally, as you've heard, baptisms here at the church, that is what we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus said to do it, and that's how we do it. But it's not just in name verbally. It literally is baptized by the authority of, in the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that have given that right for baptism to his church. And the way of scriptural baptism is that a saved person who's publicly confessed Jesus Christ must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this follows examples of New Testament baptism and the command of our Lord. And some references, we won't read all of these for sake of time, but John 4:2, Matthew 28:19 and 20, and Acts 2:41. When we baptize, we must baptize as Jesus instructed before he ascended. His words were in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And as Baptists, we dare not baptize any other way. Now to a point of contention. Baptism must be administered not only to a saved individual who has confessed Christ, but it must be administered by the proper authority and in the proper manner. And this is a very strong point of contention among, well, lots of people groups. But the Bible could not be more clear about this, that the proper authority, and not only the proper authority, but if I may add, the only authority for administering baptism scripturally that we have, the Lord left, is with the church of Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about other people that use that name for their meeting places, facilities, and all, but we're talking about the body of Christ has that authority to administer baptism. It was to her, the church, not the preachers, that he gave the commission and the authority we find in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And now, to the stronger point of contention, proper manner of baptism, scripturally, consists of or requires being immersed or buried in the water and raised again. And it testifies to the world concerning our hope that we have in Christ. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, beautiful, pictorial message that we see through baptism. And when you see baptism administered in the scriptures for the church, this is the mode, this is the method by which it was done, is that of immersion. Lots of scripture references here that I could list, but know that nothing short of a burial and resurrection is fitting for a picture of Christ's death and resurrection. It just logically put plainly should make sense then what it is that's transpiring, what's being pictured during a baptism. Sprinkling, pouring, or repeated dunking are blasphemy against the word of God that tells us Christ was buried and resurrected. If it's supposed to be a picture of Christ and what he did for us, then our baptism ought to be an accurate portrayal or reflection of that. Any baptism that lacks the proper authority and is not done in the proper manner is plainly put a mockery of the Bible account of the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'd do well to consider that. Even the picture some of y'all have seen on Facebook of Dad baptizing there in Sudan, and they come forward, and different areas and regions do it differently. If for us, we're used to the vertical and laid back forward. In other places, they sit in an area and they're buried, immersed under it from a seating position. Other places, they stand and they're squat, they're put under the water. But the picture is that they are fully immersed beneath the water, picturing the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And then they're brought back up, picturing the resurrection. It's also a sign of the hope that we have in Christ. So it's a beautiful picture that we see through baptism. So when baptism is administered outside of that method, what is the picture? What is being painted? Well, if it's just a sprinkling or any of this other kind of stuff, it's not a picture of Christ's death. It's not a picture of his burial. It's certainly not a picture of his resurrection. So it's not scriptural. It is not the proper manner for baptism to be administered. So, in the coming together of ones who have been saved, publicly profess their salvation, and having been scripturally baptized, in their coming together to fulfill the commands of Christ, we have the organization of a church, of a body of Christ in that area. This is how Jesus began the first church on the seas of Galilee, by the way. He called to Simon Peter, to Andrew, and formerly Simon Peter had already been baptized by John the Baptist. He'd already received baptism. So they had already made public professions of faith. They'd already received baptism, and the Lord called them out, and he began his church there, the Sea of Galilee, there on the shores. And we know this because Jesus himself said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he constructed, put together, organized there the church during his earthly ministry. It was not began on the day of Pentecost. That's another teaching that runs rampant in many circles. The church was empowered, but it was not started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus started the church during his earthly ministry. The simplest form of a New Testament church is presented in Matthew 18:20, which you've heard many times already today. So just as it's necessary for two or more baptized believers in Christ to enter into covenant with one another to constitute one body, one congregation in Christ, even so, it's needful that every member who is later voted into the fellowship contingent on baptism shall also consider him or herself as an agreeing member to help achieve the announced objectives of our Lord and his church. So I hope you get the picture. After the organization of one, when more are added to it, they are agreeing to abide by the same principles of operation, by the same goal that the previous existing members of the body are. Meaning that this church covenant, that's the thought, is that when someone else joins, they are joining and they are also agreeing to the covenant we have together to carry out the commands of Christ. And that brings us, after that scriptural baptism, to the last bit of the first paragraph of the church covenant. And it says, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. And again, we looked at that. We looked at what constitutes a church. We looked at the covenant, how it is a pledge, it is a vow, an agreement that's made amongst people. And that is what the church covenant, the introduction, lets us know. The vow we make is a sacred vow because look at who is present at this promise. We acknowledge in the church covenant that it's in the presence of God, in the presence of angels. By the way, it really doesn't matter what you think or how you feel about the subject of angels and that kind of thing. The bottom line is Scripture teaches very clearly that they are around us. There's no debate about that. Now, you can get in a twist about their involvement and that kind of thing with life, but you cannot ignore the fact that angels have a very real interest. Biblically, they have an interest in what's happening here amongst us. They desire to look into these things. Not only that, but they have some active participation. I won't get into all of that, but just know that this isn't just a promise that's made between you and I, and we're going to keep each other accountable, but this is a promise that's made in the presence of God. It's his church and the angels, all of this assembly. So that word solemnly means with gravity and religious reverence. It means it's to be taken very seriously. But also, we enter it joyfully. So you understand, just because something is serious doesn't mean that it is absent of joy.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.